Hi, Christine.
Hello.
All right, you should now be a co-host.
Okay,
Let's see, is Frank?
I didn't know how else to get on. Thank you.
Yep, no, that's fine.
I liked your background, Laura.
You like that? Oh, I keep it's mirrored. You like that? Yeah, I
Yeah.
do too. I think they did a really nice job creating the logo for the Phoenix Conference in 2021.
Yes, very pretty.
Yeah. Let's see. Frank, are you here? Frank is not here yet. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, hello everyone. If you want to post in the chat, maybe where you're from, where you reside, or where you are currently located. Yeah, we got North Carolina, Illinois, Wisconsin, Seattle. Oh, wow. All
This
over
is
the
looking awesome, isn't it?
It is. Pellissippi State. Nice. In God's country. Oh, James Adair. Only God knows where he is. Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Boy, I'm not quite sure what to do. I am used to about two people logging on when I do anything Zoom, so this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, you're gonna have more than two people. You know, that's one of the challenges that I haven't figured out yet is how to get the students to feel comfortable and engage. Some are okay with it, others not so much.
Yeah.
Cedar Rapids, nice.
Well,
California.
the class that I'm taking right now, everybody wants to join because we're afraid of missing anything. But the one I'm teaching, they're like, she can record it. We're okay.
Yeah, there's that. That's a difficult challenge to get them engaged.
Yes.
So, by the way, I saw that you are an Aggie.
Yes, I
I am an Aggie.
am. I'm a true Aggie.
Well, you know, my husband really just kind of blew that. I've got 4 degrees from Utah State, and I am not a true Aggie. Well, that's
Well,
okay.
I just dragged my husband up to the A on homecoming at midnight, and I said, "All right, we're gonna do it together."
For those that most of you probably don't know Utah State University, it's a land grant institution in Logan, Utah, and up by the Old Main is what it's called. Old building is an A that you stand on, and if you're a true Aggie, you get kissed on the A. Well, I haven't managed to drag my husband up there. Oh, we've got some Aggies. Oh, so, Susan is an Aggie from A&M, and her son is an Aggie from Utah State. Huh. That's cool.
Well, if you want to get kissed by a true Aggie, you can go anytime. But if you want to make yourself a true Aggie, then that's when homecoming comes in. Well, hi, Frank.
Hi,
How's
Chris. Hey, Cedar.
Arizona?
Doing great. It's nice and warm here, I guess, relatively to the rest of the country. I'm here. Great to be here.
Okay. Frank, I'm making you a co-host.
Awesome.
You are there. So, Christine, are you in Arizona or are you up
No,
in?
I'm actually in Smithfield, Utah, which is
Oh,
like
wow.
10 miles away from Logan, Utah.
Yep, that's we lived there for 10 years.
So I was just checking my phone. It's 2 degrees Celsius here.
Okay. Now it's a bit warmer. Speaking of weather, what's the weather like where you guys are? So attendees, let us know. What's it like in your neck of the woods? It's, I don't know. Let me look.
Let's see. In Mesa, Arizona, which is pretty close to Phoenix, it's 69 degrees, at least if I believe what it's saying.
Yeah.
It will be a high of 75 today.
Ah, that's nice.
Which is about, I'm going to do a shameless plug here for the next year's conference, but that's about the temperature it will be about next year too when you guys come to Phoenix.
Hopefully we can.
Yes, fingers crossed, immunizations, yay. Yeah, some of you have got overcast and rain, 50 degrees and sunny in Flagstaff. So those of you that have rain, if you could just kind of send it towards Phoenix, we would really appreciate that.
We really need it. It's bad. We have a
it's
really
bad. I don't think we've had rain in like a measurable amount of rain in like 6 months.
Yeah.
So normally,
it's summer bad. We have rains, but not this time around.
No, normally, yeah. Overcast and snow tomorrow. Ooh, 9 degrees.
It's looking like I'm in the coldest spot right now. I haven't seen anybody hit 2 degrees Celsius yet.
Yeah.
But looks like Ryan is a swimming pool. Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I was reading it wrong. Ryan is, his backyard is a swimming pool.
Oh, no.
Oh, you guys got a lot of rain. Scott had rain, snow, sleet, ice, sunshine. Did you get any sunshine? Oh, wow. You got like all the weather events. Oh, in one day.
Sounds like a Florida thing, but I don't think it's ever, because I remember spending some of my time in Florida where the running joke is if you don't like the weather, just wait a few hours. It'll change.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't work like that in Phoenix.
Nope.
What,
so
you wake
Laura,
up?
Are you in Phoenix already?
Yeah, yeah. I teach at Glendale Community College, so.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm so here. Laura and I are in sister colleges.
Yeah.
I think Scottsdale has the best, not motto.
Mascot?
Mascot, yes, that's yep. The word.
Artie the yeah. Artichoke.
The fighting artichokes. Woo! I mean, Chandler yeah. Gilbert's a coyote, so.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gauchos.
We are, and we are bears.
And with that, it is straight up 12 o'clock, according to my clock. Oh, Yuma. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
So we'll go ahead, and I'm in charge of the technology. So I just want to welcome everybody to the AMATIC 2020 virtual conference and McGraw-Hill Day. This is a 45-minute session. So I'm going to turn it over to Frank to introduce our speaker, and I will just be lurking in the background managing the technology.
Well, welcome everyone. We're so happy you're here today. Thank you for joining us. We are honored to be joined by Christine. Christine Chapman has had over 25 years of experience teaching math statistics in colleges. However, the drive to improve her teaching has had her studying education and learning theories at Utah State University while still teaching online calculus and statistics. Since discovering Cole's model of experiential learning, she has sought ways of including the missing reflection ingredient in her teaching. She also uses constructivism and communities of learning. And she is only a first-year education specialist student. Her biggest desire is to help other instructors teach in an effective way that convey the excitement of mathematics and statistics. So we are welcoming Christine. Christine had indicated as if she's okay with having questions posed during her session. So what I will do is, if you are speaking in the chat, I will find a good time when there's a pause to ask to forward your question, but you want this to be an interactive session. That was the understanding as we were chatting before this meeting. So welcome.
Thank you. Right now I see five names across the top of the screen. I don't know how many people are here. So go ahead and throw stuff in the chat and ask all the questions you want. So I'm going to start sharing my screen. There we go. And I'll go ahead and, there we go, slideshow. All the names were right across there. Come on, slideshow from the beginning. So how to add reflection to your online math class is actually easier to add reflection, I think, to online than to a face-to-face class. But that was my take on it. So right now I am an educational specialist student at Utah State University. It's between master's and doctorate. So as soon as I get up the courage to do a PhD, I'll switch over to dissertation. I looked at how many classes I've taught. I have taught over 50 online classes. So I was surprised at that. I've been adding big ideas to my classes since 2015, and reflection came with my first class in educational theory. Now, I'm going to be presenting six kind of strategies, but if you've read Small Teaching by James Lang or Small Teaching Online with Flower Darby and James Lang, then you know that don't do everything at once. Take something and try it. And if you don't succeed, it's okay. You're still trying. But keep it short and sweet and doable for yourself.
An off-topic question that you're having is, some people are really curious about your auto-captioning.
PowerPoint has an update. So when you present with PowerPoint, it will actually do your closed caption.
Awesome.
So 2015, as an adjunct, I was under Trey Cox for teaching calculus, and he's, I couldn't find a picture of Trey, but Trey has this little sign on his door that says, always be yourself, unless you can be Batman. In that case, be Batman. And he challenged us to do a big idea, you know, try to get students to start thinking about calculus. And his idea was, go ahead and give them an assignment to do a paper, like, why is the derivative of e to the x, e to the x? And I went, I'm not sure myself. So I changed it slightly. And I said, you tell me what the big idea is for the week. And so every week the students would turn in a PowerPoint. And then one week I got a 37-page PowerPoint from a student who said, you know, the derivative of inverse functions is like a pickle. And I was just blown away by him. And so I actually went and said, okay, we've got to give this guy a scholarship. And sure enough, he didn't go into math, he went into physics, and I'm just, but I was so impressed. I said, we've got to keep this up. People, these students have ideas that they need to express that is pretty much something that they're going to learn from. So I realized that reflection was something that I wanted to add when I took my learning theories class. And came across David Kolb with experiential learning, which pretty much has four pieces to it. And you don't necessarily have to start at the top with concrete experience and then reflecting on your experiences and then abstract conceptualization, then active experimentation. So I started playing around. Well, what if we start here? saw an engineering class that was playing SimCity. And then they went to see a city planner, which I thought was extremely, wow, what a great experience. So I thought, all right, where does math fit in? It seemed kind of limited. You'd go to class, you talked about abstract things, the students go home, they do homework, and then they come back to class. And by the time we finally get a concrete experience, it's the final. So I said it was a fake concrete experience. And nowhere in here was reflection. And reflection is actually where the students start to build their own knowledge. I thought, all right, I've got to add this. Turned out it wasn't very hard. So if you're at the beginning of a week or a chapter or even a semester, you can ask the students to set some learning goals. How many hours are they going to study, or which day are they going to study? Is there a time that they pull up for review? Are they going to ask for help if they actually need it, which is something I urge all my students to do. I say, look, I have spent over 9 years in college, and it took me 5 years to figure out that asking a question from the teacher doesn't mean I'm dumb. It means I'm in college trying to learn something. And they all laugh at me, but they don't ask for help either. So is there a goal for actually asking for help? The second idea is doing it when you do an introduction for your week, your chapter, your semester, add a quiz to it. So here's Canvas. I freaked out a lot of students this past summer when I said week 11, and when it was a 10-week class, because I wanted to get this picture. And I didn't realize students were online at that time. They're like, wait a minute, what are you doing? But an introduction can be a quiz in Canvas, at least. I haven't used Blackboard forever. So when it pulls up, here's the introduction to the topic. Here's a video that shows, in this case, multiple regression. And then here's a question from the very end of the chapter. So which variable, let me grab a drink. Which variable is most important for predicting the price of a house? Well,
the PowerPoint is not that clear. It's not like we can't see everything.
Okay, so let me go back.
Yeah.
Which part can't you see?
I can see only it says should be able to answer the following question. I don't know where it starts or something. Maybe I need to. Oh, I can see now. Thank you.
Okay, all right. So my first question is, what do you already know? Because I want them reflecting, thinking back. Okay, I know about house prices. I know about number of bedrooms. What do you already know? Gives them a chance to start the reflection. Then the second question is, what don't you know yet? Because I'm trying to say, well, that's in two slides from now. And the third question is, what's your plan for this week? How are you going to know what you don't know? And this is education theory right here. Personalized learning plan is how a student actually owns his or her own learning. And so when they make a plan of how they're going to learn something, it empowers the student and gives them their own responsibility. And now the responsibility isn't on me. I don't have to cover everything. because I can see what the students already know, and I don't have to cover that, and I don't have to feel bad about it either. I used to feel horrible if I gave a test and you never covered this. I don't anymore. Now, this more educational theory stuff, let's look at Carol Dweck. She's been pushing growth mindset. Just saying, look, you can either think my brain is fixed, it's static, I can never learn math, which is what I've heard from my sister-in-law. Or you can say, no, you know, I am capable of thinking. There's something I can learn. Joshua Eiler says, let's destigmatize failure. A lot of times students are handed quizzes, and if they don't get them right, then, you know, they've flunked the whole class. What if you turn those into learning opportunities? What if you said, hey, I don't know yet? What if you're allowed to say that? That's what this quiz does. So if you're like me, in the middle, not quite to the end, why don't you ask for some personal experiences? I thought I had to come up with every single example, and I don't. Students come with their own background, and let's go ahead and use it. So, Sandra McGuire, another education person, says, we can just throw a concept out there like a ball and ask, what does this remind you of that you've encountered in everyday life? Derivatives, huge. Statistics, I love statistics. I use algebra every day. Well, what do you do? You know, do you ever hit the brakes on the car and change your rate of speed? So when the students start giving you those examples, they're wonderful and very relevant, not only to the individual student, but to others who can read their examples.
We've had one question in the chat.
Okay.
From Frank, who had asked, do students ever answer those intro quizzes with I know nothing? And if so, how do you deal with it?
Yeah, it has come up, and I just say, great, let's get going. And then we'll be looking for more videos. We'll be looking for a little more interaction on, you know, getting started. Just once they get started, then they start saying, oh, wait, I know about this. I've heard this one before. It's usually just the, I can't even get started. I don't know where to start. Why don't you start anyway? So some of the student examples, I don't know if you can see the whole thing. I can't because I've got pictures on the side, but derivatives make me think of brewing beer. I would have never come up with that example, but this student said, you know, this is why it makes me think of brewing beer, and I have to get this type of acidity. And wow, that was an example I'd never thought of. In an introductory class, I went to IKEA and tried to buy a picture frame. This was an art student who said, oh, all of a sudden, unit conversion was really important because I had an 8x10 picture and that was a 30x40 centimeter picture frame and I didn't have the picture with me. That was pretty incredible to hear her say that. I'm like, yes, give myself a pat on the back for that unit conversion. Scott Adamson, I believe, was the keynote speaker last year. He also works at Chandler Gilbert. He said, I went to flush the toilet and I thought about rate of change and flow. And we all started laughing. He said, no, there was a sign on there that said 8 gallons per flush, unless you hit this button, then it's 5 gallons per flush. And this was an example of a rate of change that actually didn't use time. Well, I've never thought of toilets the same since. This is something that the students really are good at. I ask them for resources. So what helped you learn this topic? I recognize that I can't cover everything. Sometimes it's just, I can't do it. I have classes, or I can't say it the way that you understand it. I know that me putting up videos can take 2 hours or more. It can take 2 days for me to make one video. And so I can't keep up with everybody. But the students have told me about Desmos and tutorials, and they really love their online videos. I try to get them into study groups. Sometimes it works. And concept maps was left over from educational theory. So how many of you have ever used Padlet? Go ahead and type it into the chat. I have chat turned off.
As I'm looking through the chat, I would say so far we got a lot of no's and some yeses. So
okay.
If I'm doing a quick, just a quick look at what's happening, about 1 out of every 4 have used it, when 3 out of 4 have not.
Okay, so apparently Padlet is free if you only use 2 or 3 Padlets. If you want to get more like I did, I had to pay, and I haven't figured out how to cancel the payment yet. But the students will go in, and I've had it so they just, it's like a little, sticky note, where they just say, hey, this one helped, and I really like it. So I put a couple links on here. The product rule is a song. The quotient rule is a song from Calculus the Musical, which is very fun. That's a short song. But they love to put videos in here, and they occasionally will quote a tutor or say, the tutor gave me this piece of paper, or gave me the link for this piece of paper. And that was very useful when we hit the trig section. I feel with copyright problems, I can't post videos, and, you know, I just don't, you know, apparently Khan Academy is free, but not always. And so I try not to post videos that I don't know are readily available. And so this is where the students can say, hey, this one helped and this one helped. And if you look at the last 5 minutes of this or the first 5 minutes of that, that really helps the other students. And that way I'm not breaking any copyright rules.
So Laura is asking in the chat, are students sharing in Padlet?
Yes. They'll even respond to each other in Padlet, like, yeah, that was great, or your link doesn't work. Now, I found when I embedded Padlet into Canvas that when the students went to post, they came up as anonymous. And so I had them put their name in as the titles, because I said, hey, this is class participation. I'm going to grade you. So right here's a video with Nancy Pye. We've seen videos with Khan Academy and the chemistry tutor, believe it or not. So they will respond, you know, right here with Padlet. You can add a comment at any time you want. Usually it's just, yeah, that was a good link. It really helped me too. Oops.
1 point, okay. For sure on each tangent line.
Let's see. So we need 2 points to find the slope. See if I can turn her off. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know how much time we had, so I put in some videos. Now, when you get to the end of the semester, well, don't forget what you did at the beginning. So if you, your students set some goals, ask them to, you know, so how'd your goal work? Did you really study 5 hours a week or 10 hours a week? And allow them to actually celebrate their goal. So they can think back and say, yeah, that was great. Or dang, 5 hours wasn't enough. I really should have done 10. But at least they're reflecting back on it. Remember when I said do an intro quiz? And at the end of the module, you should be able to answer this question. Well, put it back in at the end of the module. Let them answer that question. So that they, again, can give themselves a sense of accomplishment of, yes, I followed through. I learned how to do something, and now I can do it. And then my favorite, what was the big idea of the week, the semester, the chapter? And they come up with some really good things. And I've expanded it now. So that not only is it the big idea of the week, sort of this week, I've asked them to select a hard problem that demonstrates this. And then they have to answer this problem and finally post a video. So for my students, this can be up to 40% of their grade. And why do I insist on this? Because I'm trying to get their thinking so that when I start, I give my students an example. So here's a summary. I said, chapter one had quantitative versus qualitative data. And here's a picture that shows both. This was talking about COVID-19, the rate of infection on Indian reservations versus cities. So yeah, this is when New York was big, the news, but this is the Navajo Nation right here. They're saying it's almost twice as bad. Yeah, they have less people, but more people are getting sick. And then I said, here's a hard problem from the homework. Here's my solution. And I made a video. I put it on Screencast-O-Matic because it was, I couldn't upload it to YouTube, but they saw this example and they took this and they came with some of the most amazing videos. And I thought, you know, I really need to write to the bookmaker and say, hey, you know how you have videos in your ebook? I have some students, you need to buy their videos. It was that good. And when I got done with the class, the only student who did not get an A was the one that didn't do big ideas. Okay, I like Screencast-O-Matic and I recommend it because you can actually show the student's face. Okay, that was weird. Okay, trying to figure out. But the students also like to use their camera phones. If they hold them up and down, you get a screen that is kind of small, but at least it's upright. If they hold it this way, so it turns, you know, kind of horizontal, you almost have to turn the computer so you can watch their videos. It's interesting. Some of the students have pulled out their phones and they will actually be writing on a piece of paper. And then this one was fun. I'll go ahead and play it because he was showing how, what buttons he was hitting in the calculator to actually make it work, which really was helpful to the other students. I do put this in discussion because I want the other students to interact with each other, to actually get some ideas from their fellow students and then think about it. Ah, come on. There we go. This student was able to use body language that she couldn't have used in a word, you know, just typing out a word. She was trying to describe the difference between a 90% interval and a 95% confidence interval. And I thought this video is powerful. just because she was able to use her fingers. Holding up calculator. Frank, were you saying something?
We do have some questions in the chat.
Okay.
So one from Laura is to maybe start small the first week or two and build up student confidence. And the second question from Catherine is, do students have their own YouTube accounts to upload video, or do you create a standard, do you create a shared account?
If you have a Gmail account, you automatically have a YouTube account. They are now linked. So I just ask him, go ahead and make it private. You have a choice of public, private, or unlisted. Actually, unlisted is the preferred method. Private means the only person who can see it is the person who uploaded it. So that doesn't work. So unlisted videos in YouTube are great. Screencast-O-Matic, that's free. You can you log in and you automatically have your own channel there. So holding up calculator is great unless they're trying to hold it up to their computer phone or computer camera, and then you can't read the screen. But it is interesting hearing their vocabulary. It really helps. All right. 12:30 here in Utah. So a couple more ideas. I ask them, why don't you give me a hard problem that you know you can solve, but you know it's hard, and I'll take one of those and put it on the final. So even though we have a departmental final and required questions, at the end, here's an optional question I give them. So please grade this instead of number 13 or 5A. And this question came from a student. And they all had the chance to see what their fellow students were doing and how they did them. And then here's a chance to go ahead and do your problem that you've already reviewed. Okay, error analysis. Students can get really, really frustrated with this, but I think it's really good, especially asking the question, why? Why was this wrong? Where did the student go wrong? And they have to start thinking about analyzing it. And boy, does that build learning. Another thing about the question why, every class I teach, I don't care if it's calculus or beginning algebra, I have the students do a student loan activity where they actually have to compute how much interest they pay and, you know, 20 years versus 10 years. And what if they went on to get a grad degree? And then at the end, I say, so, do you want to do a 10-year loan or a 20-year loan? And then the next question is why? And, you know, there's no right answer for that. But once they start saying why, then they start thinking about, okay, why do I want a 10-year loan? Well, I want to get it over with quicker. Why do I want a 20-year loan? I got a smaller payment. That's a whole lot better. If you have time, you can allow the students to redo, I would say, one question on a test or a quiz, and they have to say why it was wrong and what the correct answer should be and show work. A lot of times I get, this was wrong because I was stupid, or it might be, this was wrong because I wrote 3 instead of 33, which is great, as long as they recognize why something happened.
Angela had a question from the chat. Typically, okay. How many students are enrolled in your class?
I've never had more than 50. At this time, 16. So yes, that's why I was saying one question. It can be almost like grading the whole test again. So that's one that you might want to ease into. Okay, if you want to redo this question, I can grade it. So the last idea was notes for the final. Having them write notes for the final all during the semester is actually better than having them do it the last week of class. And they can be thinking about, well, what am I having troubles with? What do I need to remember? And it is amazing how much just writing notes for themselves can be a good way of reflection. So, I did a lot of talking. Did anybody have a question or other ideas?
And you are getting some thank yous. At this point, the chat is, the questions are open. We have plenty of time to ask questions.
I tried really hard to squeeze it in.
You're definitely ahead of schedule. You have more than enough. You have more than 10 minutes.
That's good.
Getting lots and lots of thank yous. Okay, so there is one question from Anita. I've been trying to use the discussion board to garner engagement, but it's not working too well. Any ideas?
Oh, I've had discussion board problems as well. I know in some online situations, it will notify you if someone has replied to your comment, but I know Canvas doesn't, and you almost have to go back in. So I think requiring people to respond to others in a thoughtful manner is useful, but I get a lot of Sunday night responses. Okay, yeah, you had a good idea. And here's my, it can be really hard. Does anybody else have ideas with discussion board?
Let's see, another post. Let's see, will you be posting this on Myomatic, your talk?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think Wiley Plus, no, this one is McGraw. I think they will, Laura, you're in charge of that one.
I'll get with you afterwards. Yes, okay. It'll be in Myomatic.
Okay, good. I'm sorry, Frank.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't mean to, I thought there's a delay. Sorry. From Catherine, there's a question about how do you grade the big ideas? Do you use a rubric? Is it the same throughout the semester or does the rubric change?
Okay, I use that exactly what I said. And I'm not concerned with exactly what their big idea was. What I want them to do is think. I want them to be able to talk about math. And if a student is struggling and says so, but says, for me, this is a big idea and the power rule in calculus is a wonderful idea, I'm good with that. I'm just looking for them to say, hey, I thought about math. I can do a hard problem. I can talk about math. That's what I'm looking for.
A different question from Mary is, how do you grade the student videos? Does the quality of student videos vary a great deal?
Oh, yeah. I've had the phone sideways this student actually went to the tutor center and the tutor almost told me exactly what to write down. As long as they give me a video, that's all I'm worried about. I've had almost professional videos versus the phone. What I'm actually doing is listening for their vocabulary. So I don't care about the quality.
A question from Katrina was, do you use the Padlet like a replacement to a discussion board?
Yes, that's what I was trying to do with the Padlet so that they, I did ask them to respond to each other. Didn't work really well. I wish it had. But you know, I was trying something new and I think I know how to push a little bit better. Making the grading very obvious. Okay, if you don't respond to somebody else, you get a zero. Sometimes you have to give that kind of motivation.
Danielle asks, do you have minimum word counts for discussion, post, or big ideas?
No. I purposely don't tell them what the big idea is. I want their ideas. And as long as they write something that makes sense, I'm good.
Okay. A question from Jennifer is, she was wondering how many students don't or can't get access to making videos. And her concern is about the equity part.
That is hard. I usually have about one student a semester with video problems. And so that's when I go back to the PowerPoint and I say, look, if you can, you know, in this case, you're going to have to write more, either, you know, like write on a piece of paper, post your picture in PowerPoint, or write on a paper. As long as there's something that has your voice in it, I'm good.
Bill was curious to know a little bit more about the assignments or activities that feature a growth mindset.
Well, if you start off saying with the goal idea, you know, I am going to do this, or the student plan, I'm going to learn this way. That's a growth mindset.
Brian's question was, do you consider only the intrinsic value of reflection for exams, or do you put other, do you put reflective questions on your exams also?
If there's a reflective question, it will be one, because, you know, it's one of those why questions. Otherwise, I'm pretty constrained with what I put on a test. So joys of being an adjunct.
See, making sure I'm reading, make sure I can get to the questions. I'm doing this right. Let's see. We're having a lot of wonderful chat happening. I'm just trying. If I have missed any questions, please unmute yourself and ask the question. I try to do it, but it does scroll by kind of quick. So if I miss something, please unmute yourself. We're happy to hear your questions.
I'm trying to pull up my email address. Okay, you can also email me, christinechipman@usu.edu. Because I am an adjunct, I don't always get a class at Chandler Gilbert, so I'm not sure my Chandler Gilbert email will still be there, but I know I'm going to be here at USU for quite a while, so you can email me there.
And we still have 5 minutes, so.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm using my.
I know it's backwards, but I'm looking at the clock and it says 44.
Well, I'm using my Macintosh, so they might be a different. I don't know what real time is, but.
Oh, yeah. It says 12:40 here, so phew. I was thinking, oh, man. I tried to squeeze it in and we're out of time. But no, we have 5 minutes. Woohoo!
We have a lot of people still here, so please do ask questions. Okay. Dean is very happy to answer your questions.
There's something here I need to point out. My camera here, I actually asked it to mirror so that when I point right, then I'm, you know, it's easier to point because I like to use my hands when I talk. But if you ever have to show something on a screen or a paper or a book, unmirror your camera so that it doesn't come out backwards.
I do have a question. I'm Heiko Spadek from Portland Community College. And thank you for sharing so many things, but I loved also very much your first way pointer, where you're like, you know, which one to choose. So my question to you is, if you would like us to implement one thing first of all the things you've shared with us, which one would be your priority? Thank you so much for everything.
Start with why. Just add that to a quiz or a test. Why did you answer that question this way?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hannah is asking the question, when students respond to each other, do you provide a structure for the response or is it unstructured?
The only structure I give is if what you put on is not professional, I will delete it. That's the only structure I give. You know how online students can just feel like they're alone in the universe. I am trying to encourage this interaction, and so I don't want to step in the way.
We still have time for more questions.
Or we can end early and I can go out and celebrate and have, you know, like French fries. I did a talk. Woohoo!
Christine, I actually do have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I really love your ideas that you presented here. There was just one thing I was trying to figure out how to, I really would like to take your ideas and tweak them up. Use them. I actually have a need for more assessments in my class. I had been leaning more towards doing quizzes. We're online now. Everything is virtual, right?
Yes. And
so, really just getting the students engaged. But I need to have assessments. Is there any way to tweak your work up with just, I guess, to combine it in such so I can use it as an assessment? Something that can be proctored. In other words, even if it's only for, you know, 15 minutes a week, something like that, because I actually I'd like to take the best of the ideas that you have, but also be able to assess, use it as along with, you know, weekly assessments. That way I don't have to do these major, you know, every month, huge exams on them. Have you ever considered, you know, how to do that?
I would do the quiz, you know, the intro quiz, so they know exactly, and then put an end of the week quiz. So they've given themselves a chance to think about the question and study it, and then
how would you do that one? But how would you do it under a proctored situation? I mean,
I know Canvas can do. We use Respondus at Chandler Gilbert. Over the summer, I couldn't make Respondus work, but I gave the students one question on the final, and I told them to make videos of themselves talking about it. And they were like 1 minute video. It wasn't a hard problem, but because they'd been making videos all along, I was able to hear them. And
what kind of materials did they use to make the videos? Like their cell phone or like?
Mostly cell phone. Screencast-O-Matic, like I said, is popular. There was one student that wants to pull up. His videos look just like Khan Academy. Okay, whatever you can do, I'm good with it.
Okay, so Natasha, thank you for your question for Christine. I'm going to have to close this room because I have to go open a new room for the next session.
I'll use those ideas.
Yeah, go ahead, tweak them all, please. I want to get this PhD so I can help online math students or math teachers. That's my goal.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone. And have a great day. Hope to see you in the next session. I put the link in the chat to the page with all the sessions and the links. And have a great day.
Thanks, Laura.
Yep. Thank you, Christine. Go Aggies.
Now,